is episode 21 of Your Girl Time. Welcome. Here with me is one of the potential candidates for the GM position for Dynamo, Tony Rubio. Tony, say hello.
Hello, everybody. It's true. Ted Segal called me, John Walker, but I'm sorry. I had to turn in my my official resignation from the post since I think I'm too good for the Dynamo. Arsenal want me to, but I think I'm headed to bigger pastures for that Man City money, baby.
Yeah, Tony also has some Solara reservations, so obviously I have to take care of those first. But yeah.
Yeah, due to my loyalty to Matt Jordan, I can't take this position. It would be too hurtful to my friend.
Yeah. So a little bit before we started recording, we got the news of Craig Weibel being reached out for the Dynamo. So we're definitely going to talk a little bit about that during the show. And just a quick heads up, you might hear us a little bit different, only because we decided to evolve along with technology. So initially we were recording via Skype, so not the best option to record audio quality and video. So we're trying out this platform called Riverside, which seems to be way better. So we just have to wait and see how it goes. So
we'll see. It says if we pay for the subscription, eventually we can live stream straight to YouTube and do live call-ins. So, you know, maybe we'll rival Soccer Matters.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be good. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into the show. We're going to go ahead and talk about the Dynamo and Dash games from this past weekend. First, about the Dynamo. Another road game, and it's sounds about right, since they lost 2-0. And it was a perfect storm, essentially, since it was pretty much like all the stars were aligned in this case. So Seren was starting, and you know what's going to happen from there. Conceding early in the first minute, and then Lasseter coming in as one of the, like, the very, I wouldn't say very late, but somewhat late, considering the circumstances, late sub. So it was another one of those road games, obviously, expecting a loss coming into this one, even though it's Minnesota. So, unfortunate.
Man, you know,
it's all I have to say.
I just want to mention, since I absolutely have to mention this to every single living person I see, my men's league Division 2 6v6 rec team won the championship yesterday, and I wholly think that Ariel Lasseter could not play for us. That's how I feel about him. He cannot play for the D2 champions. Oh, Andres, 100%. He's in the starting lineup for that team, but Ariel Lasseter doesn't, you know, we'd have to turn him away, bro. So
yeah,
that's how I feel about that subject.
Yeah, like, obviously, like, heading into this game, you kind of, pretty much how the pattern has been this season, you pretty much visualize how this game was going to turn out to be. And just coming into this one, I was somewhat right. It's just that after, like, Minnesota took a 2-0 lead, like, way early in the first half, they pretty much took care of business. Like, the Dynamo barely responded. They just came back with late substitutes, like, in the 2/3 into the game, which is essentially, in our standards, like, nothing to, doesn't give us, like, enough time to respond, essentially. And yeah, it was just disappointing overall.
Yeah, I mean, both me and Andres were pretty busy to not be able to watch the game, really. I was in the process of moving out. I had to clean my old apartment. I had the game on my phone, like, kind of the whole time, but obviously not being able to watch it completely since I was busy. But yeah, I think it's definitely one of those forgettable games, watching the highlights, hearing all the talk on Twitter. Literally insert place here for any other road loss we've had in the past freaking 10 years of our existence.
Pretty much. And at this point, it's autopilot. And, like, one of the things, just heading into this one of the things I still ask myself is why, at this point, where you're still looking for a way to just salvage the season, like, why at this point are you not, like, starting the homegrowns, you know, or, like, starting the young kids? I just want to see Danny Rios, like, he's already playing for the national team along with Seren. Like, I don't see a reason why he shouldn't be playing right now.
Yes and no. Because I think there was like a 1% pipe dream if we beat Minnesota. And then if we literally probably won every other game after that, we could probably make the playoffs. But come on. Like, that was a pipe dream already. We told y'all to calm down. But obviously, Tab, the guys, they have to have that hope, which, I mean, they should. But they, like, I think they're going to start coming down, obviously, as the results don't. Like, we're probably going to win a couple more games this season, but it's going to be more of the same of what we've seen throughout the season. So the thing about Danny Rios is that he has been called up to a couple El Salvador camps, but every time he's been called up, like right now, El Salvador is doing so many little mini camps, like they're calling mini ciclos, like mini cycles in Spanish. And like, for example, this camp that he was just called up to was like none of the first team players for El Salvador. It was all a bunch of young kids from the U.S. academies and then some younger players from El Salvador. So that's just an asterisk there to put that although Danny Rios started for El Salvador in their 2-0 loss to Guatemala, it's pretty much like an El Salvador B or C team. So I didn't watch the game at all. We'd have to ask, you know, our Salvadorian brothers how that went. I saw Danny Rios was getting a lot of hate on his comments after the loss from Salvadorians. I saw a harsh one, man. They were like, man, never get called up again. You suck so bad, like all this stuff. So obviously, man. Danny, if you're listening to this, please don't listen to the haters. Obviously, you're just getting your feet wet in the professional game and with the national team. But I agree. Like, as the season winds down for the Dynamo, though, to make my point, I think there's absolutely no reason why these guys shouldn't get their debuts. Obviously, you have to think right now that Tab is still playing for his job. And like I said, the players and the coaching staff, kind of we're still playing for a playoff spot. But if there was any 1% hope before that Minnesota loss, I think now there's got to be 0%.
Pretty much. And with two games this week, obviously, their window of opportunity to just take advantage of those points is gone. Obviously, it's been steamrolled by the fact that they lost six. They didn't win a single game like in 3 months. So, obviously, it's at this point, if you want to make playoffs, you have to be crazy and pray. And I don't see it happening to the Dynamo in the next couple months.
But I'm going to be at the Dynamo game tomorrow, which is the first game I will be at since... It's the first game I'm going to be at since the 2020 home opener against the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I'm going to be finally back at... Man, I haven't been to the stadium so long. It is called PNC Stadium now.
Unofficially.
Unofficially, but I'm excited to be there. Hopefully the Dynamo can beat the Whitecaps. It's actually going to be... I mean, we'll get into it more in a second, but that's going to be interesting because the Whitecaps have a very solid chance to make the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
So they're going to be hungry. But we'll get to a second to finish off the talk about Minnesota. Obviously, we don't hate any of the players except maybe Ariel Lassiter. But just kidding. Tim Parker, man, had a shocker of a game versus Minnesota United, and me and Andres were just watching the highlights together. Teenage Hadebe actually should have a lot of blame for that first goal that Minnesota scored in the first 2 minutes. But I mean, what do you think, Andres? What is it? I don't want to just say more of the same because I actually kind of want to bring some analysis to this. But like, what is your observations from, you know, the lack of defense essentially?
Oh yeah, collectively it was a bad game for defense. Like that goes on Parker and Teenage, and yeah, I feel like it was like Hadebe's like first bad game with us since it's been pretty decent considering the circumstances, and Parker. Like especially Parker, I also feel like he had like a pretty horrible game as well.
Oh yeah.
Like and essentially the game comes down to the fact that Minnesota scored very early and they took advantage of the opportunity and just sat back, knowing that Dynamo are pretty incapable of responding offensively. obviously the Dynamo made their defensive adjustments after scoring their two goals. Obviously they stopped the bleeding, but obviously wasn't enough. And those kinds of goals shouldn't be happening like that early.
I mean, you guys saw the game in the highlights, but essentially in the second minute, Rub and Load just makes a run between Hadebe and Parker. Parker seems like he's not aware Load is behind him, and Load kind of came into that space where Hadebe didn't know if he should follow him or stay in the box to essentially defend the space, because Hadebe didn't have anybody else but Load near him. I mean, so obviously we can break it down like anybody else can, but everybody was blaming it on Parker, but Parker, yeah, he should have been, you know, knowledgeable that somebody was behind them, but Hadebe really should have told Parker, or what would have been better, just Teenage should have just followed Load, and that would have 100% prevented the shot from going in. So that's bad communication there from that partnership. If anything, like Andres is talking about the homegrowns, you know, need to be getting minutes. I think right now, winding down to the end of the season, it would be a lot better if there was way more competition for the spots than there is right now, because it's good that we have stability in the lineup, but I wish, you know, Bartlow, Fuenmayor, even Minor, you know, I wish that, I don't know how things are going down in training, but I wish that the competition was a lot higher, because right now Tab doesn't seem like he wants to budge anybody from a starting lineup, essentially, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, and before we move on to the next game, we just wanted to apologize to Dylan Walpers for a really bad season. Honestly, like, of all the people I'm thinking about right now, that should feel sad towards, like, even Ted Segal. I feel like Dylan Walpers needs some credit here, because he has been going through some hardships right now, especially on his birthday for the past couple of months. So, yeah, shout out to Dylan
Walpers. He's had enough.
He's had enough. Like, so just end the season.
Just to end that thought that I had, I'm not obviously advocating that we need to punish every single player for one bad mistake or two bad mistakes if they have a bad game, because those are going to happen. But at the point of the season that we're at right now, if somebody has a bad game, I wish the competition was good enough to where Tab says, hey, you really were not good enough this past game. You're going to start on the bench next game. You know, obviously that's really hard with Park because he's our captain, but I wish that was the case and Bartlow would come in and prove himself or something like that. So we'll see what happens. I think Pasher is going to be back this week, probably on the bench. It looks like he played with the Dynamo U23s this weekend. So Baird's back. So we're at least getting some of our so-called depth back. But
yeah,
I would really like to see at this point in the season for Tab to say, man, you're really not living up to the standards right now. You go take a trip to the bench and next guy up, because that's all you can ask for pretty much at this rate.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the Dash, which is a lot of a happier subject.
Much better.
Subject.
If you guys don't know, we actually have a team that wins road games, this case being the Dash. This is the third win on the road for them, and with the third win, they already have more wins on the road than the Dynamo have in the past couple seasons, so congrats to the Dash for steamrolling the Racing Louisville 4-0. Coming out of goals from Christy Mews and Michelle Prince, both had goals and assists that game. And it's pretty much just watching the game and watching the replay for a little bit. It was pretty much a complete game of the Dash. And Louisville was essentially, it looked pretty lost from what I've seen. And pretty much recording zero shots on target against the Dash, which pretty much, like, in my opinion, says a lot about the game.
Yeah, I mean, Louisville is obviously near the bottom of the standings, but I thought they would put up way better of a fight than they did. Honestly, I'm not sure who their goalkeeper is, but she had a shocker of a game, conceding quite a few chances directly to the Dash, and then it just looked like two teams on a whole different level at this point, and you can see that on the table with the gap. Racing Louisville in second to last place with 17th, and then eighth place ahead of them, the New York, New Jersey, Gotham, freaking 25 points. So that's a gap of 8 points between those places, and you can definitely tell by the quality.
Yeah, and I just wanted to give a shout out to Rivi Sally and Katie Nam for the goals. Katie Nam is obviously coming off a corner kick. It was pretty skillful, and Rivi Sally opened the score early in the first half. And also shout out to Racing Louisville Stadium, because it looks pretty fancy. Like it sits around, like, I think 12,000, but it looks pretty good for like a soccer stadium in the United States.
Man, I know, and I want the Open Cup to come back so we can see an MLS team hopefully be hosted at Louisville Stadium, because that would be so sick to see. But obviously that's a while away with COVID, and Open Cup essentially it seems like it's gonna die with the League's Cup, so that's a whole other story to get into. But obviously the Dash are in seventh place right now, with the top six teams in NWSL going into playoffs. We're only 1 point out of that spot behind Washington Spirit. But I think we have four or five games left for the Dash, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because the Dash next have Kansas City, who is the worst team in the league. Hopefully it should be a win away from home. And then the Dash have to play the Thorns twice, home and away. And they have to play North Carolina Courage, who's also one of the best teams in the league, along with the Thorns. And then the last game of the year will be the Spirit. So the Dash probably have one of the hardest ending stretches of games in NWSL. So if they're going to make playoffs, they're going to have to get results against the Thorns, who have not been kind to us this year.
Oh, yeah, and it's not going to be easy because they're only separated by a couple points from seventh place up until third. And you have to imagine that with the closing schedule for the Dash and all the games coming up for the league as a whole, it's going to get crazy. So we'll see how it goes. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit more about Kansas City. And essentially, like, the Dynamo and Dash are playing Kansas City this weekend, so it's going to be interesting. And obviously, one team looking more likely to win over the other, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, national televised game against Kansas City this weekend for the Dynamo. That's never good, especially with Kansas City being in second place in the West. So we're not going to talk about that game yet. We're going to go into anything else you want to say about the Dash?
For the Dash, no, I don't think so, other than the fact that they did match the result without Rachel Daly, obviously just recently becoming the top scoring player in Dash history. And yeah, that just goes to show. I've been trying to figure out the Dash this whole season, in the sense that how they play even through the bad results, but it just speaks to their tenacity. Obviously, they're capable of taking care of business, even though like sometimes it doesn't look like it. So it's just an enigma, honestly, from what I look at it.
Yeah. Obviously, way better season than the Dynamo so far, but right when you think the Dash are about to be back on track, they lose to teams they shouldn't lose to. Yeah. They're inconsistent with their results. So if we don't make the playoffs this year in NWSL, obviously it's a huge failure with more than half the league getting into playoffs. And then, just with the inconsistency, it's unacceptable. So I wouldn't say James Clarkson's job is on the line, but obviously with Ted Segal wanting to change things, how things are done around here, if he wants to stick around for a long time, I think playoffs are a must for him.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to go ahead and switch to the recent news regarding Craig Weibel. So an article from The Athletic from Craig? No, it was two guys. I keep forgetting the names. But essentially, an article from The Athletic just came out this morning, essentially mentioning that FC Cincinnati is lining up towards hiring a new GM, since they recently just fired theirs as well, kind of like us. And it was important to me because I got at the bottom of the article, it mentioned that the Dynamo did approach Craig Weibel to hire him as a general manager. Obviously, that's big news. Craig Weibel is one of my most preferred candidates for the job. Extensive knowledge of MLS. Way more than Matt Jordan. Like, Matt Jordan would wish to have like that pedigree, honestly. And him and Pat Onstad are like the candidates I want the most for the job. And just hearing news it's pretty hopeful. What are you gonna say?
The Dynamo had, Matt Jordan had bad pedigree, if anything, coming into the Dynamo after a pretty unsuccessful stint with the Montreal Impact. So the best we can do is hire somebody that at least has done something in the past. But let me get back to the article here. Just obviously, like Andres said, Craig Weibel was mentioned there. So essentially, there are several teams in the search of a GM right now, which openly it's FC Cincinnati, San Jose Earthquakes and the Houston Dynamo. But we probably will expect more changes in the offseason, one of them being probably LA Galaxy, who is about to end their the contract with Dennis Teclosa is about to end. So they may be in the search for another GM, since apparently Chivas Guadalajara wants to sign him. And that article that you were talking about is actually, I think it's with Sam Steschkol and Paul Tenorio from Athletic.
Yeah, yeah.
But essentially, FC Cincinnati, so obviously FC Cincinnati fired their GM, San Jose fired their GM, and then lastly, Houston fired our GM, lastly out of those three teams. So this makes sense that they would be farther along in their process to hire somebody than us. But I mean, we were talking about the pros and cons of that. Right now, obviously, Cincinnati, we know, spends money, obviously doesn't spend it well. So they kind of might have first pickings in terms of available GMs in the league. Sam Steschkol reported that SC Cincinnati wanted to sign Craig Weibel. They offered him the job, but they didn't come to terms. We don't know what the problem was, if it's money, if it's something to do with the team. And then now FC Cincinnati is probably going in on Chris Albright, who is the technical director for Philadelphia Union. So that's pretty interesting, because this article mentions specifically that the Dynamo have reached out to Chris Albright and to Craig Weibel. So those could be two of the Dynamo's top candidates for this job. But the thing is that Craig Weibel is also very much in for the San Jose job, according to this. So at this point, it's going to be a tug of war to see who goes where, probably Albright to Cincinnati. And if the Dynamo really want Weibel, they might have to fight San Jose for him. Since lastly, according to the article, please get the Athletic if you don't have it, by the way, they are great. The Dynamo are the farthest behind in our search for the GM from all three clubs, since obviously we fired our GM last. So that's a lot of information to take in. But obviously, I have to bring it up because it's out there. But our good friend, that Dynamo Insider, he tweeted out some information. Whether it's true or not, you guys can decide. But he's saying that sources tell me Craig Weibel, Philippe Senderos, Brian Ching, Chris Albright, Brian Bliss, and Pat Onstetter are the candidates for the Houston Dynamo GM position at this time. Like I said, take it with a grain of salt. All of this sounds believable, except for Brian Ching. Like, I don't understand why he would even be considered, since he had a pretty failed stint with the Dash as a GM. And he's now successfully running his businesses in Houston. So obviously, Andres, that sounds a little weird, but who knows? He has gotten some stuff right in the past. He has gotten some stuff wrong in the past, Dynamo Insider. So like I said, you guys can determine whether to believe him or not, but it's at least something to talk about. Out of all those candidates, to end up before I let you talk about this a little bit more, Andres, I know Andres and one of our, and David, you guys have heard from Twitter Spaces that Philip Senderos sounded crazy, but I've been following Philip for a while, and just after looking into it more, he is a sporting director of Servette Football Club in Switzerland. I think is one of the bigger clubs in Switzerland, his childhood team. So he's the sporting director. They're pretty much the technical director. So it would be very believable that Senderos is interested in this job and at least going to be interviewed, since he's a former Dynamo. I don't think it would be a bad shout at all to interview him, since he's familiar with the league. And he's obviously a huge global name, having played for Arsenal and the Switzerland national team in the past. So that's all I have to say about that. What are your thoughts, Andres?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to disrespect Brian Ching or Philippe Senderos, because they're like legends on their own right. But if you put them together in this quote-unquote list, along with the candidates that are that have like proven track records, I don't see why you have to consider Ching or Senderos like at this stage.
I mean,
obviously they can learn over time about the league, but like you put these guys together with Craig Weibel or Pat Onstad, like it's black and white, the comparison.
I agree about with Ching, no disrespect to him, but I think Senderos would be definitely a good shout. I know we want proven MLS track record, because we know that's the formula for success in MLS, but if we were to bring in, you know, let's say a GM and a technical director, then I would definitely be interested in to see what Senderos has to bring to the table, because it's not like he's a newbie to MLS either. And he also has a great international repertoire, per se. So I think, you know, no disrespect to Ching, like we said, but I would rule him out of my own considerations. But Senderos, I would definitely give a good eye to, not saying just for the GM position, but even to bring into the organization in general. But for the other names, what do you think about those, if you know anything about them?
I'm mostly just familiar with Pat Onstad and obviously Kirk Rival, but like I did see Albright and Bliss. I haven't like done a ton of research, but I did see just for like a quick search that they've been pretty much involved with Kansas City and, well, Philadelphia Union and Kansas City respectively. So obviously two successful organizations that the Dynamo can learn a thing or two, especially for the last decade. So honestly, just from a surface level, I wouldn't mind them being considered based on the fact that they've been involved in like a successful organization, like based on the last few years. So, but I still prefer like Craig Weibel or Pat Onstad at this time.
I mean, I agree with you, but at the same time, Weibel obviously has a very proven record, and Onstad more or less has hopped around the league at different positions where he has been successful. But I think we're a little biased just because they are former Dynamo players. So, I'm going to trust in. I'm going to trust in the organization on this one to pick, you know, the right candidate after out of everyone. I'm going to assume money probably won't be an issue because I don't know if Cincinnati didn't agree with Weibel on terms of money or in terms of, you know, control. But all I have to say is that I really hope that we split the GM position into two. If anything, a GM, and a technical director, however, whatever names you want to call it, but have somebody that's higher. So I guess you could call that sporting director, and then have like essentially a technical director under them, because I think it's way too much of a job to give to one person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've already seen it. That person has too much power, and that person can be here for way longer. We've seen it. So I think it would be wise to split the titles, honestly. It will be wise, and obviously we're getting a lot of opportunities, less risk for one person, like since the roles are going to be split. So I'll pull for that, honestly. I just hope that's going to be the case when hiring a GM and potentially a technical director. So we just have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, we have to wait out. We're literally like dying for news at this rate, but I think even though like the article said, we're the farthest behind of those three teams, but you already heard from, I forgot, was it Glenn or somebody else last week that says we're kicking up the search for the GM like pretty fast. So
I fully expect Lester.
Lester. Yeah. My bad. Yeah. I fully expect us to sign a GM in the next month. So who knows if we can pull a Cincinnati, because Cincinnati essentially fired Yap Stam because they're about to sign their GM and they want that GM to like pick the next head coach. Imagine we sign a GM and they kick Tab out right away. So that would be pretty dramatic.
So FC Cincinnati, I think they're going to have more full-time head coaches than Dynamo ever had. So interesting note.
And they've been existence for like 2 or 3 years. So.
Yeah, and they just love burning money. So you love to see it. But yeah, before I move on to this weekend's game, so yeah, it's going to be an interesting few months. I still expect them to hire the GM and potentially, hopefully, a technical director by the end of the season so they can get started as soon as possible. That would be my ideal scenario. Obviously, I don't know what Ted Siegel thinks right now, so we just have to see. Wait and see.
Well, that's all we can do. What else do we have to...
Let's talk about this weekend's games. It's going to be... For Dynamo, at least it's going to be meme week. They play Vancouver Whitecaps at home essentially tomorrow and Kansas City on Sunday on national TV. So, obviously, Vancouver, comparing them with Kansas City, they're not the same team, but I feel like it's a team that can bring it's a wild card team. That's what I like to say.
Especially in the form they're in and with how I said they're about to get into playoffs. And they just signed, like, an amazing number 10 in Ryan Gold from Scotland. They call him the Scottish Messi. So nice. he's been in amazing form since he signed with Vancouver like a month or two ago. And that's a big change for the Dynamo to deal with. So we'll see how we handle Vancouver, who are super hungry to get into playoffs with a new coach as well. So we definitely are going to hope the defense are up to the task against them. In terms of their defense, obviously they're not bad, but historically Vancouver is not a historically amazing defensive team, so I'm gonna make one prediction this game that Rudy gets back on the score sheet finally. That's my prediction. We'll see what happens if we win, lose, or tie. But hopefully, you know, Rudy scores a goal for me tomorrow and sends me one of his arrow celebrations.
Well, I hope so. I'm also gonna be focused on the Kansas City game since I'm gonna be missing that game because of work, the Wednesday game. But the Kansas City game, it's a place where the Dynamo got their last road win, going back to last year. Obviously, circumstances being different because Kansas City did have a crowd because of the pandemic, but it's gonna be a bad one. I feel it. I love to be proven wrong, but it's gonna be another road game, and we know what's gonna happen. Severin's gonna start, and it's gonna go from there.
Shut the hell up, bro! Come on, dude. No, actually, when we beat Kansas City, what was it, like 4-1 or 4-0 away?
5-2, I think.
Something like that. Yeah. They had a crowd. That was the last game before COVID, like, happened, essentially.
Oh yeah.
In 2020.
So yeah, it was our second game of the season. They did have a crowd. Mm-hmm. They did beat us that game, but then the season. Yeah.
Because... No, you're right. You're right. I'm the wrong one. No, we lost to Kansas City really bad.
Yeah, in that second game. Then the season got suspended, and then we played again. Like, after MLS is back, we played again in Kansas City, and that's when we won our last road game.
I think there were some fans in the stadium that game.
Yeah, yeah, there's some, but not like the whole stadium. So
yeah, okay. So I was wrong, but yeah. So there's been very up and down results in Kansas City.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At least they don't have Gianluca Buzio to terrorize us anymore. But obviously they have a lot better of other players.
Oh yeah, they got their arsenal going. This guy, I keep forgetting his name, but like every time he comes on the field. My demons are Russell, essentially.
Daniel Shalloway?
Oh, Russell, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Russell terrorizes us, yeah.
Yeah.
But Pulido, man, he's always on fire against the Dynamo too. So yeah. I think our midfield is going to struggle the most against them because that's where obviously we've been historically weaker, and they have a very strong midfield. So I know they got like Gary Kinda, Roger Espinoza, who loves to get a red card. So
absolutely.
But so obviously say your prayers and cross your fingers for that.
It's gonna be meme week, so it might be for the worst, but we'll see.
I'm bringing y'all a win tomorrow since I'm going to the game, so if y'all see me there, say hello. I'm gonna be wearing the Dynamo kick childhood cancer shirt that I just got in the mail after like 2 months. So
yeah, if the Dynamo win on Wednesday, it's because of you, so we'll thank you for that.
And if they lose, it's not. Don't even talk to me.
It's Matt Jordan's fault. So,
lastly, we got the Dynamo Lone Army, and we had the Dynamo U23s play this weekend. At home, we lost to Chicago Fire 2-1 at Aviva Stadium or whatever that park that's the rugby stadium that's next to HSP. Very hard to get information on that game since the Dynamo don't like to post too much, especially when that kind of team loses. Since it's still like in their pilot season, it's just glorified friendlies basically at this point. But they did post a starting lineup, and we saw Tyler Pasher in there, who obviously is over 23 years old, but he's just getting reserve minutes, which will be a thing that can happen next season if players are injured or need minutes. You will be able to see one or two of them be able to go down and play with that squad. We saw Ethan Bartlow starting, Mateo Bahamic, Juan Castilla. The lone goal from the Dynamo came from our Dynamo Academy fullback Jathan Juarez, who was in preseason with us and has been training with us. Anybody else I missed there that you saw?
Didn't Bartlow feature? I think, or if not, if
yeah, I said Bartlow. Let me see right here. I have the picture. Oh, Ian Hoffman.
All right, yeah. All right.
The goalkeeper Logan Erb, who trains with us a lot. So yeah, those are all the names I said. The other ones that I didn't mention is because I don't know their faces. But so, kind of a strong team on paper, you would think, from a lot of the first team guys playing down. Obviously, we have seen 0% of Mateo Bahamic and Ethan Bartlow lately. So it's not promising that they didn't get along well in this loss to the Chicago Fire. But like I said, it's glorified friendlies, and we have like zero information about them. But that's all we have to give to you guys about the Dynamo Youth Ministries at this point. Hopefully, we can get more info.
But we have info for this week's Santa Mola on Army. Last week, since we recorded late into the week, they did most of them did play two games this week. So the mid game on Wednesday and the other game during the weekend, and we just have stuff to add to it. Essentially, since Marcelo Palomino did get an assist in Independence's 2-0 loss to Birmingham Legion. That's what I meant to say. And yeah, it's the first of the season, believe it or not. It also got two appearances last week, which makes it 25 appearances for the year, which is insanely good for Palomino. He's getting all the minutes for Charlotte Independence, and you just love to see that. And Jose Bizama. He exists. He got
back from the dead.
He also got another appearance against Birmingham Legion, which makes it 5 in the year. And Eric McHugh, he also got an assist, believe it or not. So Marcelo Palomino and Eric McHugh got one assist last weekend. So he also got his one assist in his 13th appearance in the Charleston Battery's 3-3 draw against Pittsburgh Riverhounds. And another interesting thing, so the game was 3-2, and towards the 85th, 86th minute, Alex Dixon scored the tying goal. And if you don't remember Alex Dixon, he used to be a homegrown for the Dynamo. So, fun facts.
I think former Dynamo / RGV player Todd Wharton also plays for the Riverhounds, if I'm not incorrect. So,
oh yeah,
got a lot of tie-ins there. My AirPods are about to die, guys, and the podcast is pretty much over at this point, anyways. But Andres has to head to work, so we'll let the man go make his moolah. But yeah, kind of shorter episode this week. Not as much to talk about. Please, Webb, if you talk about us this time, please add us so we can interact with you. And anybody else, if you have if you have hate or love, or criticisms or anything, just tweet us. Tweet us about the GM position. We want to talk. Hopefully, we'll host another Twitter Spaces soon. As the season winds down, it's gonna get more fun. I guess we're gonna be able to talk about and get more information about who we think we should retain, who we think we shouldn't. Expansion draft lists, Dynamo U23 mechanisms are going to be a lot of interesting information to get, because we don't know if we're going to actually have to sign players to actual contracts, or if they'll just be able to still go to college if they decide to. So, stay tuned for that.
The most important part of the season is the off season. After the season,
for us,
only because it feels like Christmas, because the list of options picked up, options declined, who gets released, who gets protected for reentry, expansion. It's our Christmas, so
it'll be a shorter off season this year too, thankfully. So
yeah, that too. So it's gonna be good. Obviously, it's still a couple of months away from now. So, but it's gonna be fun. Just look forward to it for now. But hey. Yeah.
I need to check, but if Zimbabwe qualified for AFCON, African Cup of Nations, then we might be missing Tinashe Adebe at the beginning of the season, or for preseason. So I'll have to look and see if Zimbabwe made it or not.
Yeah, you know it.
See, this is what you listen to this podcast for exactly. Random things like that.
For the last thing in the episode, for sure.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, that's a treat you get for staying this long in the episode, So that's our thanks to you, the listener.
All right, guys, we'll appreciate you guys listening in. Hopefully we get some results for this week, especially against Vancouver, since I'm going to be at the game. If y'all see me, like I said, give me a shout. And we'll talk to y'all soon.
Yeah.
Stay noodle.
Yeah, guys, just fingers crossed, pray for those 3 points, and stay noodle.
Peace.